Peace to the nations.
day I declare that I will restore to you health. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. This time we invite the young people to come forward for the children's message.
So, I got a question for you. If one of these pitchers would be me, and one of these pitchers of water would be you, and one of these pitchers is Jesus, which one would represent Jesus, do you think? Wait, which one, Walter? That one.
Yeah.
Which one, Lee? You guys are pointing to. Which one? Which one? Wendy? The purple one, because it's different, right?
Yeah.
Purple, we have purple for the season of Lent. Purple is a passion number. Purple is a royalty number, too, right? We waved our palms. We celebrated the king coming into Jerusalem, right? Hosanna, purple. So, I think you're right. I think that's a good one to represent Jesus. I'm going to read what Mr. Knapp just read from Paul's words in Philippians, the words of the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote for us. He said, here we go, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God. Was Jesus God?
No.
Yes, Jesus is God. He's not God the Father. But he didn't worry about being the same as God, right? Not something to be grasped and sought after. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, what if I take this water? We said this represents Jesus. He emptied himself. Right? Jesus was God. And now I'm taking another one. You know I gotta mess with water. Oh. Ryan, did you get a shower this morning? Did you get a bath? Well, you're all set now. Now, all right, which of these pictures represents Jesus now, of these three? Which one, Walter? This one.
Oh, I took this one away.
This one is still Jesus, right?
Yeah.
He is still Jesus. He is our Savior. He emptied himself of all the royalty of God. He still was God. Jesus was just like us. He had to sleep. He ate like us. He talked like us. He talked with other people about their problems. He got hurt. He probably hit his thumb with a hammer. You ever get hurt? Jesus. You never get hurt? And Jesus knows what it's like to get hurt. He had thorns in his feet, stepping on rocks. But Jesus also healed the sick. Can we do that? He raised the dead. Can we do that? He died on the cross, and God the Father raised him from the dead for our salvation. Jesus came as a man just like us, but he was God. So he could live perfectly for us and took our sins and died for us. And he is our Savior. We're going to close with a psalm from today. You guys are working on these, right? I bet you'll recognize some of these words. So say these closing words as a prayer. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. What's the rest? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Alright. Jesus came just like us. He is our Savior. He knows what we go through. So, you get to reach in the grab bag, have a treat, have a blessed Palm Sunday. We'll see you later.
We continue with the sermon and the tramp of soldiers' marching feet on page 12. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Gospel of John is fascinating with intricate themes and ideas that run throughout John's account of Jesus' ministry. In John chapter 5, Jesus is in Jerusalem for a feast, and while he's there, he heals a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. The paralyzed man rejoices, but the Jewish leaders are angry because Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." The Jewish leaders declare it is not lawful to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. It's unlawful to work on the Sabbath. But Jesus explains, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Who is this man who claims to have authority over the Sabbath day? The Jewish leaders are irate and want to kill Jesus for calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God. And Jesus goes on to explain the relationship of God the Father to him, the Son. And then Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. What is he talking about? How will the dead hear anything? They're dead. As with many things in the Gospel of John, this teaching refers to multiple things. But as we jump forward to chapter 11, we clearly see this in action. Jesus is at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus arrives too late to keep him from dying. And now he stands outside of Lazarus' tomb as folks roll away the stone, and everyone's worried about the stench of death. With the crowds gathered to watch this bizarre spectacle, Jesus shouts at the dead man, "Lazarus, come out!" What an idiot Jesus is. I mean, he's yelling at a dead man. But hold on. What was it he said earlier there at the pool of Bethesda? He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus yells, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus comes out. Jesus raises a man from the dead by yelling at him. And this is not something that happened in some faraway little town up in Galilee. This is in Bethany, on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, right there next to Jerusalem. Now, they did not yet have X, formerly known as Twitter, to instantly share a video of Lazarus coming out of the tomb and being unwrapped from his grave clothes. But how long do you think it took for everyone in Jerusalem to hear that in Bethany, a man who was dead 4 days came back to life and walked out of the tomb? That kind of news spreads like wildfire. And the Jewish leaders are in a panic. It has to stop. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they gather the council to do damage control. And Caiaphas, the high priest that year, speaks to the panicked gathering. "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." One man should die. And so they plot to kill Jesus. Jesus retreats for a time to Ephraim and then returns to Bethany to have dinner with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus disappears after raising Lazarus, and now he's back. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. The excitement of raising of Lazarus, it just continues on. It continues to be a source of great interest. And the chief priests decide they not only have to kill Jesus, but they also have to put Lazarus back in the grave. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. There is great excitement in the air in Jerusalem. A crowd witnesses Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Later, word spreads that Jesus is in Bethany having dinner with Lazarus, and a large crowd gathers. The next day, the large crowd in town for the Passover hears Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And then Jesus fulfills Zechariah's very specific prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Amidst all the fervor surrounding Lazarus being raised from the dead, the King of Israel is entering Jerusalem looking sort of ridiculous, riding down the steep path on the Mount of Olives on a small donkey. Who is this man who can raise people from the dead by yelling at them? Maybe he'll do it again. The crowd wants to know more. They can't get enough of this new teacher. This Jesus movement continues to gain momentum. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." The crowds welcome the king, the Son of God, who can speak life into the dead. They cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Please save us." The chief priests and the Pharisees are afraid of Jesus. They want him dead. Tension is high in the holy city. Jesus has come to Jerusalem to die. And this should not be a surprise to anyone, because Jesus has been predicting his death throughout the Gospel of John. In John 2, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was speaking about the temple of his body. In John 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." In John 10, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." And in John 12, when Lazarus' sister Mary anoints Jesus' feet and Judas complains about the waste, Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so she may keep it for the day of my burial." Jesus has come to Jerusalem to die, but not to stay dead. As he has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, he also has the power to raise himself from the dead and to conquer death. Jesus is the fountain, the source of forgiveness and resurrection and eternal life, and he gives that gift to all who believe. As Jesus said to Lazarus' sister Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You are now the crowd following Jesus, because you know that he did not stay dead. You know Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You were dead in your sins, and you heard the voice of the Son of God calling you to new life in him. You know that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and on the last day, Jesus will call out to you in the grave, and you will rise from the dead, and you'll come out to new life in your new imperishable body, and you'll go to live forever in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. Until then, you gather each week to welcome Jesus coming to you in his word and in his body and blood. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
In our prayers this morning, we add to our list Debbie Stewart, a friend of the Lord Bauman, who had a blood clot in the leg. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, your Son humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. Fix our faith upon his death for our salvation, enrich the proclamation of the gospel, and enliven our hearts to live out this faith until Christ comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Uphold this world in your order. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, and their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God Almighty, our Lord Jesus did not count his equality with you something to be grasped, but humbled himself. Grant us a mind like his to spurn all worldly equality and humbling ourselves, to find your greater portion in the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, your Son came to deliver his people. they await the faithfulness of their salvation. Fix their eyes upon their crucifying Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to the cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Spirit, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance of faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of true confession. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do in remembrance of you." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the Lord's table. preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. The Lord look upon you with favor.